Sunday night across Milton Keynes, I'm delighted to say that we're joined by Ian Stewart. Hello, Ian.
Good evening.
It's been ages since you've been in.
In the studio, yes.
Yeah, so we obviously had you on during the pandemic, but yeah, it's been quite something this week, I think, getting people back into the studio and getting back to the normal way of life. So
yeah, and I really commend you for running this series of conversations on knife crime this week. I think it's been really important, and it's a good example of what MKFM's about.
Thank you very much. Let's talk about the police numbers first of all, because there's been a lot of conversation about that this week. And the good news is it does actually seem that police numbers are on the up. They're not quite maybe what your colleague Ben Everett had put on a number of posts again, but they're not far off, and at least it is on the upward trend. So I guess that's something that really you're going to welcome.
Well, indeed, and numbers are up. I think what complicates the position is that, yes, you have some police numbers who are wholly and exclusively in Milton Keynes. But then you get other people who might be based in Milton Keynes and do the majority of the work there, but are counted under some other headcount across the force. So, for example, I know there are officers who deal with domestic violence. Most of their time is here in Milton Keynes, but they're not counted as exclusively Milton Keynes officers. So I think that's probably where there's been some disagreement on actual numbers, but the numbers are up, and all I hear is that they'll continue to go up as the recruitment campaign continues.
So Ben said in the week that we've got more police in Milton Keynes than ever before. Do you believe that's true from what you've seen?
Because
you've been an MP for quite some time now, considerably longer than Ben.
Yeah, the numbers are up. But the other advantage of being part of a large force like Thames Valley is that officers can be moved around when there's a particular need in a particular area. So some smaller forces don't have that flexibility that we do here.
And it was good to learn about the way that police and that can be drawn in when needed. So that was really good news. Do you think the police numbers and the increase in police numbers should be used as part of an election campaign? Because we've obviously got the local elections. And the reason why I ask that, do you think that it puts the police under higher expectations?
I think when you've got a situation as serious as the knife crime situation, I don't think it's really beneficial to bandy about figures of numbers as the be all and end all. This is an issue that requires a sort of joined up approach. It's not just police numbers. It's the different violent crime reduction programs. It's some technology thing like CCTV. It's in the long term getting into schools and other places to try and steer those young people who might be vulnerable in getting into knife crime or carrying weapons, to steer them off that path. So it's, and that often requires, the troubled families type of programs. So I think to focus on one narrow part of it and police numbers, for election issues, I think misses the point. And I don't think your listeners would welcome us for doing that.
Not so much yourself, but obviously there's been a number of social media posts about election promises being fulfilled. There's leaflets going through the door with the local elections talking about police numbers going up. And something that's been suggested this week that just kind of puts the police in Milton Keynes under higher expectations of the public. And I guess that could be quite true, because when you look at those 70 odd or whatever the numbers are, when you put that down to per shift level, it's obviously nowhere near those numbers. It's maybe a handful of extra police officers on each shift.
Well, as I say, from my perspective, my party made a promise at the last election to increase police numbers across the country, and we're doing that. But see, that's not my focus. Mine is looking at this issue in the round and the contribution that all parties have to play in it to resolve it, because there's not one single solution to violent crime or the carrying of weapons. There's a whole joined up approach that's required.
Do you think following this week that the likes of yourself and Ben and Matthew Barber and the council will start working a bit more closely together?
Well, I think my initial point would be, and I spent Friday afternoon with one of the neighbourhood police sergeants, I think there already is a good level of joined up work. Now, that's not saying that, that there's more that can't be done. There, of course, there is. But, you know, the police go into schools. They work with the council if, you know, people known to them are from broken families and there's some other society issue. You know, there is the supporting families program, which the government funds. So, you know, that partnership already exists. I think what this week has shown is that that needs to continue and deepen. And look at these issues in the round rather than, as I say, try and split it up into to individual issues.
And you're obviously a resident of Milton Keynes. You've been an MP here in Milton Keynes for some time. One of the other numbers that have been bandied about is that knife crime is actually down. Did your gut confirm that, or like a lot of other residents, do you actually feel it's up?
I think there is certainly the fear of it is up, and that's partly because of the tragic high-profile murders that there's been too many of in recent weeks and months. The figures I've seen, if you look at it in a you know, purely statistical way, they are down slightly, but I think that misses the point. One is too many, and there are deep-rooted problems. In part of it's a cultural issue. You know, we've got to break out of this mentality that it's okay to carry a weapon. We've got, as I say, to look at the troubled families. We've got to provide opportunities for younger people not to go down that path. But yes, there's also got to be strict enforcement. So, as I say, looking at it in the round, I think we can make improvements. People are rightly concerned about it. I say, you know, if you're fearful of crime, no statistics going to get less than that.
Yeah.
So, you know, what I would say to people is don't be unduly alarmed, because in a lot of the cases, the people involved in this are known to the police already. You know, quite frankly, anyone who takes recreational drugs is part of the problem, because if the demand wasn't there, these people wouldn't be supplying. And you know, it's, you know, as I say, you've got to look at this in the round and all the different parts to it.
And do you feel safe in Milton Keynes? Do you think other people should feel safe?
I feel safe going about, yes. You know, of course, if you look at crime as a whole, some levels are up, some are down. I was looking at the figures the other day and sort of, burglary as a whole is down, but bike theft is up. So you can break out the statistics in different ways. But generally, yes, I feel safe going about Milton Keynes. If you look at crime rates here compared to other parts of the country, where I don't think it's a drastic problem here. But of course, you know, people will feel unsafe when they see these high-profile violent crimes.
And on the whole, do you think Thames Valley Police are doing a good job here in Milton Keynes?
I think they are. And I say I've spent time on Friday last week out with them. I'm in regular contact with Mark Tarbutt, the area commander, and others. So I have regular interactions with them. And, you know, when I see over the years when I've seen a particular problem, I've raised that and they've always been responsive. So, for example, a few years ago there was a particular you know, spike in burglaries in Asian families, when there was a group particularly targeting the jewellery and ornaments.
I remember that.
And that, thankfully, as far as I'm aware, I'm not saying it doesn't happen at all, but the instances of that seem to be way down. So, you know, when I bring issues like that to the police, they take action on it. And this is, goes back to my earlier point, where they've got the ability in a larger force like Thames Valley to move resources around when there's a particular issue.
And what about Thames Valley Police in Milton Keynes preventing crime? Because we had the incident last weekend on your patch in Tattenhoe of car thefts, catalytic converters being stolen over a particular weekend, and that was described by the police as a spate. And I asked a question earlier in the week, is that, you know, you'd think after the first one or two reports of a crime, that some resources would be put in place to try and catch the people responsible and try and stop the third and fourth crime. But the questions that I was asking in the week is that, are the police doing enough to prevent crime, or are they just reacting to crime, especially when property is involved?
Well, I'd say I think it's both. Of course, the police have got to react. They can't predict everything. And, you know, if there is a particular spate of an incident, they will respond to it. But a lot of their work is in the prevention of crime in the first place. And it links back to, you know, the preventative work on knife crime. It's going into the schools in, you know, to look at the programs that they run. You know, one of the local officers has set up a boxing program in schools, though, you know, it's a good channel for, you know, young hormones to be released in a safe way, and steer them off the path that might otherwise lead into a gang or violent crime. You know, there are places like Hazard Alley in Kiln Farm in Milton Keynes, which, you know, is safety in general, but it's now gone way beyond, you know, making sure you look both ways when you cross the road and don't step in a railway line. They now run programs targeted at making young people aware of the dangers of gangs, of violence, and how to address that. So, you know, there's lots of initiatives that can be put in place to try and prevent crime and make people more aware of what they can do.
And this week, we've been very careful not to really, you know, start looking at other issues like cost of living crisis, et cetera, et cetera. But in your priorities, where is crime and knife crime?
Well, there are
so many. I know there's so many.
It's an impossible question for me to answer. You know, I knife crime is an important issue, and you know, I know from my mailbox that lots of people are worried about it, but I'm not panicking about it. You know, that there are too many incidences, of course there are, but I'm reassured that there are programs in place, not just to, you know, deter it and apprehend those who are involved in it, but try and get underneath the root causes. But, you know, I couldn't possibly answer the question, where does it, you know, I'm worried about lots of things. I'm worried about the war in Ukraine. I'm worried about climate change. I'm worried about the cost of living, so many issues. So, you know, I wouldn't want to put it somewhere in a league table.
No, but it's something that you're keeping an eye on, and you're regularly talking to Thames Valley Police.
Absolutely. I speak on a very regular basis with them as a matter of routine. And then obviously if, you know, a particular problem is brought to my attention, then I raise it specifically.
All right. Well, we're talking to Ian Stewart tonight, the MP for Milton Keynes South. We'll be back with Ian next. Sunday evening across Milton Keynes, Ian Stewart is with us, the MP for Milton Keynes South. So when Ben was in the other day, he mentioned about the letter that was written to Priti Patel. Is there any update on that?
Well, I know she's keen to come and see what's happening here on the ground. Obviously, as Home Secretary, you know, she's got many issues on her plate at the moment, not least the, you know, Ukrainian refugees. But I know she is keen to come and see, you know, what's happening here, both the problems that there are in the violence incidents that we've had, but also to look at some of the programs that the local police and others have in place. But, you know, because there are lots of national schemes, some of which are being used here, others that could be. And I think, you know, for ministers, and I speak as a minister, you know, it's really important to get out and about and see what's happening in each area.
And what about youth services? That's something else that we've covered over the last few days. Obviously, there's been a number of cuts over the years, and youth services is one of those that have been affected. When we had Peter Marlin in, the leader of Milton Keynes Council, he was talking about spending £250 in £250,000 in two areas of Milton Keynes. Do you think there should be more funding for youth services?
Well, I think it's my colleagues in the local Conservative Council group, that's one of their priorities, that we need a number of new youth centres. And these aren't just the sort of what people might imagine as the old-fashioned, you know, types of youth clubs where, you know, there's a few pool tables and things like that. It's to make sure that there are, you know, careers advisors, there are mental health support people, the whole package of things that young people, you know, who are potentially vulnerable can benefit from. And it goes back to what I've been saying about this sort of looking at this holistically and not just as one solution, one intervention is going to be the solution. It needs to be looked at from many different angles.
And yes, I guess social care is one of them.
Yes, and if you look at the one of the programs that the government has increased the funding on is what's called supporting families, and that's a pot of money given to local authorities to where they do have a family that they see in difficulty. There might be a broken family, there's not proper adult supervision, someone else in the family might be in prison. There's all sorts of pools that could take people into gangs and other problems. That money is there, and it's been a very successful program over a number of years. So the funding for that has been increased for the coming financial year that's just started. I think it's by about 40%. So I think all these interventions are valuable.
And do you think schools have got enough support in this area? We know that the Thames Valley Police are going in and talking about knife crime, but do you think the schools have got enough in place to be able to help combat this, spot the signs of maybe something that's about to happen?
Well, I think it is part of the picture that I know from other work I've done on some of the anti-bullying campaigns. An important part is to give teachers the training where they can spot the warning signs and intervene at an early stage before it becomes too problematic. As I say, I was out on Friday with one of the neighbourhood police sergeants. Who does go, they go into the schools. And we had an interesting conversation about who goes in to make these talks to people. Now, a police officer in uniform coming in, that potentially is a barrier. And the pupils who might listen are the ones who are not going to get into problems anyway. But if you get, some of the victims of violent crime, their families, so you can actually show in person the devastating effect that these sort of crimes can have. That might be a more effective way of getting the message over and making sure that the message is targeted to those who need to hear it. So there's always room for improvement in these. And I asked the sergeant if I could go in to one of their upcoming visits to schools so I can just see for myself how they approach it. What other initiatives?
It's a hard word that I've been struggling to say that all week, Ian. Initiatives.
Initiatives.
There you go. I've done it that time.
Might be effective, yes.
Yeah. And this week we've been talking a lot about parents' roles in this as well.
Yeah, of course. Parents have an incredibly important role to play, in making sure they know what their children are up to. But I think we also have to be honest that for all sorts of reasons, some parents aren't able to do that. If it's if the father, for example, has gone away and the mother is out at work all day, they might not be able to give that supervision that you might hope for. And that's where, as I say, the supporting families program can come into its own. To try and spot these. So as I keep saying, it's not just one part of it. You've got to look at all the different areas. At the end of the day, there'll be some who can't respond or won't respond to the interventions, and that's when you get into the tougher enforcement and the stricter penalties that there are that are there. So as I say, you can't just look at one part of it.
It's no. And what about petty crime and lower level crime? Because the general feeling that we've got from our listeners and the people that have contacted us that they don't think that that's dealt with in the same way as it used to be years ago. Certainly we've had people that have even had cars stolen and a member of the police haven't come to their property. They feel that the CPS isn't doing enough. Would you agree that lower level crime needs to be tackled a bit more to stop some of these higher level crimes from happening?
I do, and it's I think what's called the sort of zero tolerance approach. I think it was first pioneered in New York. So, you know, if in a neighborhood, you know, there was someone breaking a window or doing graffiti or whatever it is, you know, that was stamped on. Because if you start letting an area seemingly decline, that then breeds more problems. But what we've also got to be aware of is that, you know, some crimes go up and down. You know, when I, you know, first got my car, it was broken into to for the radio to be pinched. Now that often doesn't happen now because the entertainment system in a car is an integral part of it.
I thought you were going to say because there's no decent radio stations around
apart from MKFM. But you know, and also the, you know, sort of more and more crime is cyber.
Yeah.
You know, I'm getting messages on my phone saying, oh, you've been in contact with someone who's, you know, tested positive for COVID. You need to get a test. Click this link. No, I don't think so, because as soon as I do that, you know, I'm being scammed. So, you know, the police have got to look at that side of it as well.
And is that something that you're going to be pushing for? Because, you know, even on your own patch, we mentioned earlier about Tattenhoe. That was, again, described as a spate. And you think to yourself, well, how can something get to a spate across the weekend? Surely, you know, more should have been done to prevent further crimes from happening.
Well, I think if it's done by people who are known to the police, some of the technology is there through the APNR cameras that are around. So if they spot a car coming in, you know, whether it's to supply drugs or you know, some other organized crime, they can often intervene. That's why it's important to have the CCTV cameras properly functioning, and if that's been one of the benefits of the conversations you've had this week, that there's better liaison between Thames Valley Police and the council to you know, get those systems up and running, then that's great.
Yeah,
that's all to the good. But we've also got, you know, criminals are clever, and you know, they will try and outwit the police. And if they're aware that they're trying to, you know, they've got one line of defence to stop something happening, they'll try and evolve it to something else. So it's a constant game of catching up and using intelligence the best they can, to nip these in the bud.
But generally you would agree that we need to be tougher on lower level crime and property crime in particular.
Yes, I do. Because that can have a devastating impact on the victim. You know, if someone breaks into your house and steals something that's might not be enormously high monetary value but is valuable to you, you know, that has a devastating impact. So, you know, I you know, it's something I would like to see more and tougher penalties for.
And you've been coming into MKFM for quite some time now. Obviously, you're the longest serving MP out of yourself and Ben. Something that we used to talk about quite often was I before E.
Yes.
You know, we haven't spoken about that for a few years, but we used to discuss that, especially when it comes to Milton Keynes Hospital. So we know that the Conservative Party are putting more police in around the country, getting the numbers back up. But with Milton Keynes having a growing population, new housing site being built across Milton Keynes, do you think that we're getting our fair share of the numbers on police?
Well, I mean, I don't have a spreadsheet in front of me to know where, you know, the exact numbers across the country are. You know, as far as I can tell, it's a fair allocation, and I believe in the next few weeks we'll have the latest update of the new recruits coming, which I think, from what I hear, will be a fairly healthy uptake.
And in regards as Thames Valley Police, have they constantly been pushing you for more police? Is it a conversation that you've been having regularly, that they're stretched?
You know, I rarely meet an organisation who isn't looking for more resources at various points.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. Yeah, and you know, that's why I meet the area commander on a regular basis, and I've done all the way through. I don't know how many area commanders have been on the watch since I became the MP, but and it's important for me to have these conversations so I can feed them into to ministers when the allocations of these resources happen.
So it's probably not the right phrase, but are you quite comfortable, quite happy of where the police numbers sit at the moment? And you know, confidence that they can actually deal with crime here in Milton Keynes?
Yes, and I say I went out on Friday with them, and I was really encouraged to, you know, to get their perspective on how the different parts of the system work well together. And the officers said, of course we want more resources, who doesn't? But there will be more officers coming, but I think they're in a, you know, they're working well as they are, but that is no room for complacency, and we've constantly got to keep a check on all the different initiatives and make sure they are delivering.
And we've touched on it briefly just now, but when it comes to CCTV, Milton Keynes Council, Labour-led, are saying, well, even if the CCTV was working or they'd spent the £250,000, there isn't enough people in the control room watching it. When we had Thames Valley Police in earlier in the week, they said that they felt there was enough people being able to watch it. What's your view on that? And do you think we do need more money for CCTV?
Well, I think the budget is already there. It's just that I don't believe it's been spent.
Right.
This was a programme that was put in, I think, in 2019. So, you know, that money should be used when it's been allocated. And CCTV in its own is not going to solve the problem, but it helps, as you were just discussing, it helps build up some evidence. If you're spotting individuals or vehicles in an area, it's all these bits of intelligence that form the picture and the jigsaw that gives the police the understanding and the intelligence so they can make interventions.
Okay, and finally, we did have a specific question here about the amount of car thefts. I know that we have covered that as well, but you were saying as well about bike thefts and that going up. Is that an area that you're going to start looking at with Thames Valley Police?
Well, I look at all areas of
yeah.
crime, and you know, I say over the years, some crimes go up, some go down. There was I remember a few years ago there were some instances where people had, in the winter had switched their engine on to, you know, heat it up and get the windscreen cleared, gone in inside, and then someone's spotted it and driven off. With car technology going the way it is, another area we've got to be very careful of is the sort of hacking of the systems. If the more that is done electronically, the more that can be interfered with. Keeping people can read the fobs and
copy the frequencies of them.
Copy that. Is potentially a problem of the future. So I constantly look at what's happening, and if I see through my mailbag and just generally out and about talking to people, of course I flag that up. And as I say, I've always found Thames Valley Police very responsive.
All right, brilliant. Well, thanks for coming in on a Sunday evening.
It's a pleasure.
Really appreciate you coming in, and look forward to speaking to you after the local elections.